Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions along the way. Questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become, well, a reflection of God's love to a world that obviously don't know God for sure and definitely is in deep need of more love, don't you think? I mean, take a look around. There's a lot of bad news bears out there. How can I take the good news of Jesus Christ and apply it into my daily living so that I can become a light in this present darkness? I want to be a tool in the hand of God, making present His kingdom, not someday, but today and every day. And that is what this show is all about. And I'm so glad you could join us today. We got a good one. But before we get into it, it is time for viewer mail. Our first letter coming from Sandra. She's in Mount Dora, Florida. Dear Father Chapin, I just had to tell you how much I love that story you told about your brother and her first child. She's talking about Sophie. And how much he loved her. As I listened to the story, it reminded me of how much I loved my daughter and had her crib in my bedroom as well. And when your brother went on to say how the moonbeam fell across her face, that he felt so much love for her that it literally hurt, followed by the subsequent message that he received from God, and that's exactly how much I love you. I literally felt a shockwave go through my heart and gasped and immediately started to cry. To think that God loves us that much, I was truly overwhelmed. And you know what? It is overwhelming, really. I have told a few people of this experience, and just from my telling, tears have come into their eyes. So thank you for sharing that lovely story. Sincerely, Sandra. Wow. Thank you, Sandra. Our next letter coming from Audrey. It's short. Audrey, she's from Trenton, New Jersey. Dear Father Chapin, where do you find baseball in the Bible? I don't know, where? Well, the very first line in Genesis, in the big inning. Love you, Audrey. Okay, all right, I like that one. Our next letter comes from John. He's from Mansfield, Maine. Dear Father Chapin, I feel the same as the viewer that approximately stated, God has sent you to me. Well, thank you, John. As you have stated many times, you take the gospel and break it down like a fraction. Well, you certainly did that on your presentation of the gospel of Matthew 21. One of the most confusing and misunderstood gospels, at least to me, and at the end of your explanation, I was enlightened and actually understood what that gospel meant, as I have with other gospels that you have presented. Thank you, Father Chapin. Your Catholic presentations have made a significant difference. Even though I'm a cradle Catholic, I slipped away from the church, and now at 81, I've returned and am trying to save my soul. I also thank you for mentioning your gospel presentations can be seen on the computer when you are preempted by other silly programming. John from Massachusetts. And yes, John, that is true. Sometimes we are preempted, and you can go on YouTube and put Daily Living with Father Chapin. You can go to the website, mydailyliving.com, and they're all there. Or you can say to any Alexa device, hey, Alexa, play the podcast, Daily Living with Father Chapin, and it will play the show. But then it'll play random shows, which is kind of interesting. It'll play you what you need to hear. What do you say? We quiet our minds down, put ourselves in the presence of God. God's got a lesson for you today. The question is, are you ready to hear it? We're going to school. Question is, are you ready to be the student we are hearing from the Gospel of Mark. On leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever. They immediately told him about her. He approached, grasped her hand, and helped her up. Then the fever left her, and she waited on them. When it was evening, after sunset, they brought to him all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at the door. He cured many who were sick with various diseases, and he drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak because they knew him. Rising very early, before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and on finding him said, "Everyone is looking for you." He told them, "Let us go on to the nearby villages, that I may preach there also. For this purpose have I come." So he went into their synagogues, preaching and driving out demons throughout the whole of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. And what a gospel it is, my friends. This is a deep pool. There's a whole lot here calling the kids. It's going to be good. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You hang out. We'll be right back. We're going to talk all about this gospel and a few other things here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living, and together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. So today our gospel falls in the middle. It's one of those in-between gospels. Once again, highlighting why we need to read the gospels for ourselves. Because if you're simply relying on a guy like me bringing you the in-between gospels, you might miss the bigger picture. So I invite you to consider reading the Gospel of Mark. As I've mentioned in the past, he opens with a very bold proclamation. First line, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Boom, there it is. Now, I want you to try to do something for me today. And this is going to be hard to do. In fact, it might be impossible. But I want you to try to at least try to imagine that you've never heard of Jesus before. You know nothing about him. And the only concept you have of God is that he's the creator of all things, he's all powerful, and he either blesses you or he curses you, depending on what you do. So if you're good, you're blessed, and if you're bad, well, then you're cursed. In other words, he knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake, which might work for Santa, but has nothing to do with Jesus. Because we do not subscribe to a merit-based theology. There is nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there is nothing you can do to make God love you less. Now, but let's just say for discussion's sake that this is what you thought. And once again, you know nothing about Jesus. And then one day, all of a sudden, one of your friends come up, and they want to introduce you to their friend. And they say, "Hey, this is my friend Jesus, and he's the Son of God." Really? What would you even do with that? I mean, that would be pretty unbelievable, wouldn't it? Yet this is precisely how Mark begins his gospel. Matthew and Luke, well, they kind of build up to it. They make a case, but not Mark. That's where he starts. And then he sets out to prove it. And he does so through testimony, beginning with the prophet Isaiah. And then he moves quickly to the testimony of John the Baptist. A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight its path. Now, of course, we know that John the Baptist is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. Soon he will point to Jesus and say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Then Mark further testifies with the Spirit descending in the form of a dove on Jesus. And then finally, the booming voice from heaven, this is my beloved Son of whom I'm well pleased. And then boom, we're in the desert for the temptation. Mark moves real quick. And Satan says, if you are the Son of God, prove it. In other words, give me testimony. But getting back to your friend who introduced you to Jesus and told you that he's the Son of God, I imagine you'd be thinking the same thing, wouldn't you? Son of God, really? Think you're going to have to prove that one to me. And of course, we see this theme of prove yourself throughout the entire ministry of Jesus. All the way to Calvary. In fact, on Calvary, from the cross. If you are who you say you are, come off that cross. Thank God he didn't. Now, last week, we had Jesus making his debut, his inaugural address, as he stepped up to the podium of some synagogue in a small fishing village called Capernaum. And not surprisingly, the very first thing he runs into is a demon-possessed man, crying out, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus was not interested in his testimony. So he cast out the demon, wouldn't let him speak. And our gospel last week ended with, all were amazed and asked one another, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him. His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. So watch this. Okay, we see that the very first way that Jesus chooses to prove himself is to show us that he has authority over the spirit world. Authority over the demonic realm. So, with that said, let's talk about our gospel in the middle. On leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the house with Simon and Andrew and James and John. Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever. They immediately told him about her. So we need to understand that fever in the ancient world was a big deal. People died of fever. It's not like today where you can knock it out with an antibiotic. They didn't have penicillin. So this is a real concern. He approached, grasped her hand, helped her up. Then the fever left her, and she waited on them. The Greek word for leave is aphiame, which can also mean divorce, like suggesting a leaving for good. But it can also, and this is odd, at least to me, aphiame can also mean forgiveness. The fever left her, and she waited on them. The Greek word for waited is diakono, which is where we get the word deacon. It was a word that Jesus often used to describe himself. I have come not to be served, but to serve. And as I've noted a time or two in the past, if you throw the good news into a pot of boiling water and you reduce it and you reduce it and reduce it down to its bare essence, one word will be looking back at you. And that one word is service. A fact that The Gospel of John demonstrates so beautifully with the washing of the feet. He approached her, grasped her hand, helped her up. Then the fever left her and she waited on them. Once again, prove it. So watch this. He first proves himself by having authority over the spirit world, the demonic world, and now he proves himself by having power over the physical world, the power to heal. Jesus has the power to heal you. So he has power over the demonic world and the physical world, which includes disease, which is a consequence of living in a fallen, sinful world. So once again, Jesus has the supernatural power to heal us, this gift of healing. Unfortunately, through the years, we have seen this gift of healing distorted and corrupted by the hearts of men. Send me your love offering, and I will pray over your letter and send you a healing. TV evangelists who monetize the gift of healing. These are false prophets preying on innocent suffering. Because hear me when I say, nobody, I mean nobody outside of Jesus has that kind of authority. But don't get me wrong, I am not saying that there's not a great benefit for having people pray for your healing. There is. It's a wonderful and beautiful thing. It's a powerful thing. Clinical studies have proven that those who have people praying for them heal far better than those who do not. It's just a fact. The power of prayer is real. I'm a believer. How can I not be? Many years ago, I was hit by a speeding car while crossing the street. I should be dead. You should have seen the stacks of get well cards that arrived at the hospital. The nurse thought I was Elvis. It was impressive. And every one of those cards represented a person that was praying for my healing. And guess what? It worked. My head, my leg, my arm, I feel great. God is good. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back. And we will continue to talk all about this amazing gospel here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Now, just for the break, we were talking all about the gift of healing. And it's real. It's a beautiful thing. But once you start putting a dollar amount to it, once you start monetizing healing, you are taking what is wonderful and beautiful and distorting it to the worst kind of blasphemy, which, by the way, is exactly how Satan operates. Understand this. Satan creates nothing. All he can do is take what God creates and distort it. He takes just a little bit of God's truth, just a grain of truth, and he twists it. He turns it. He distorts it. He confuses it till it becomes something entirely different. But buried deep in the middle of every sin is a seed of something good. Satan takes that seed, distorts it into something that is bad, and offers it to you and to me to deceive us. He approached her, grasped her hand, helped her up. Then the fever left her, and she waited on them. So, my friends, there are three things that are going on right here. Number one, by grasping this woman's hand, obviously he's touching her. And of course, she's a woman, she's a non-relative, so he is making himself ritually unclean according to Judaic law. So that's number one. Number two, she's sick. And you know, man, woman, relative or non-relative, you can't touch a sick person without, again, making yourself ritually unclean. And number three, he's healing her, which is a work. And he's doing this work on a Sabbath. Can't do that. Right, so it's against Mosaic law. Three strikes, you're out. But Jesus doesn't play by those rules. Keep in mind, we're at the very beginning of his ministry. They didn't have social media. But this event went viral as the word of his healing spread like wildfire. Next thing you know, whole town's at his door. I bet. When you think about it, imagine there was somebody here in Nitro, West Virginia, that was miraculously healing people. I tell you what, I-64 would be backed up all the way to Hurricane. People bringing sick children, people battling cancer, people lost in addiction. How many people would be at that door? I'll tell you, a whole town. I don't think that this is an exaggeration. He cured many who were sick with various diseases, and he drove out many demons. Now, remember, we talked about this last week, and we had asked the question, what about today? Are there still demonic possessions today? And in case you missed that one, the answer is, oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. I've seen it up close and personal. And these demons are well hidden. Hidden within alcoholism. Hidden within drug addiction. Hidden within pornography addiction. This is demonic activity. This is spiritual. And since the problem is spiritual, the cure can only be spiritual. Which is why you can't hop on down to the local Walgreens and buy a pill to cure alcoholism. But you can work the 12 steps because, as we've spoken about many times, it's a spiritually based solution. Rising very early, before dawn, he left and he went off to a deserted place where he prayed. Simon and those who were with him pursued him. And on finding him, said, everyone's looking for you. And he told them, let us go to the nearby villages, that I may preach there also. For this purpose I have come. So he went into their synagogues, preaching and driving out demons throughout the whole of Galilee. Now watch this. That I may preach there also. For this purpose I have come. In other words, yeah, I can heal you. I can do that. Yeah, I can cast out your demons. I can do that. But that is not the reason why I'm here. That's not my purpose. That's the sizzle, not the steak. Because the reason I'm here is to not heal you. The reason I'm here is to save you. From who? Yourself. That is my mission. That is the good news. I ain't your Santa Claus God, because even though I know if you've been bad or good, I love you anyway, despite of yourself. So like I said, I can cast out your demons. I can heal your disease. But the most important thing to Jesus What matters more than anything else is getting you home. The only question you've got to decide today is whether you are going to grasp the hand that He is extending to you today and allow Him to lift you up. My friends, Jesus is calling for you today. Let us dial into that quiet voice. You know, the voice that the evil one is so desperately trying to block out. Do you feel like you're getting lost in all the noise these days? Are you looking around this life and thinking to yourself, you know what? There must be more than this. Guess what? There is. Jesus is stretching out His hand for you today. Why not take it? And as He lifts you up and wipes your sinful nature white as snow, why not jump to your feet and wait on Him? As you follow Him, as you become one of His, and allow Him to guide you home. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is B1. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. And remember, every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.